The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on a pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their splendor. And he said to him, "All these things I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. "Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region in the shadow of death, light has dawned." From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I saw a post on Facebook the other day, and a pastor was saying that he never takes a day off because, well, neither does the devil. And the response was to that, "Well, perhaps you should find a different role model." Sometimes we don't even realize what we're doing until somebody points it out to us. Our story for this morning is one of those great stories, one of those battles between good and evil. We've got Jesus in the one corner of the ring, and in the other is that great tempter. We may call him Satan or the devil. Something to note of this is that Jesus has been fasting for 40 days and nights. Normally when somebody when they fast, it's from sun up to sundown. That's a minor fast. So a major fast then would be from sundown to sundown. So for a full 24 hours, that for a big holiday, for a big Jewish holiday. So Jesus has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, I know how hangry I get when I go 5 hours without eating. I can't imagine 40 days. Jesus has got to be tired, delirious, almost like a trance-like state. And here comes the devil to tempt him. Jesus is at his weakest. And so first he appeals to Jesus' most basic need, food. The tempter says to him, "Well, if you truly are the Son of God, all you got to do is take these stones right here and you have the power. Use it. Turn these stones into bread." And Jesus responds to him by quoting scripture, "You do not live by bread alone, but by the word of God," which comes from the book of Deuteronomy. For the next temptation, he brought him up to the temple and said, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone." The devil is actually quoting scripture there. He's quoting Psalm 91. In fact, we have a song for it. It's the fourth verse. "For to the angels God's given a command to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And he will raise you up on ye." Ooh, he's tricky, isn't he, that devil? quoting scripture, but Jesus tells him, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test. You can't test God," which comes from Deuteronomy 6:16. And for that last and final temptation, Jesus is, or the Satan, the devil, is appealing to Jesus' humanity. Jesus is the Son of God, and if he doesn't know, he has at least an inkling of what's going to happen in the future. There's going to be a lot of pain, there's going to be a lot of misery, especially at the end, when there's the trial, the beatings, and then finally the death of crucifixion. And Satan says to him, "All you have to do is bow down and worship me, and I will give you all of this. I will give you everything that is on this earth. Everything that you see is yours. All you have to do, just, you know, say the word, and it's yours. Worship me." But Jesus knows the law, that first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me." So he tells the devil to get lost. He says, "Worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Once again, Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy. This time it's chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus is actually, in this story, fulfilling scriptures. He is the Messiah that the Jewish people have been waiting for. It's just that he's a little different from what they were expecting. They were being persecuted by the Romans. They expected this Messiah to come in and resurrect, to bring back the golden days of Israel, when they were strong, when they had their own army, when they had a king. But instead, Jesus, you know, comes as this little baby boy. For those of us that are Marvel superhero movies, loves those, the Jewish people were hoping for Thanos. Somebody to come in, just snap their finger and wipe out the Romans. Instead, they get this little baby who grows up and who never did form an army. But in the end, we know that Jesus flipped the whole world upside down, changed everything. And Jesus was able to resist the devil. Now, how long are we able to resist temptation? How strong is your willpower? Have you ever gone to the grocery store for a couple of items, but you haven't had lunch yet? Yeah. How much was in your cart when you get done? Well, shame on you. Jesus was able to resist temptation. Why can't you? Well, because we are human. We're sinful, we're broken, we don't have that strength. But what does the Bible say? If we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And sometimes we are able to kind of catch a glimpse of the holy. Sometimes we are able to feel God's presence around us by praying, or when we confess our sins. When I was in high school at the senior high youth gathering for our synod, we would have these breakout sessions. Basically, there were workshops for us kids to go to. And one of them was on prayer and meditation. Now, it was in this banquet facility with your standard stackable chairs with that, you know, that quarter inch of padding on there. They weren't the most comfortable things to get to sit on. But actually, it was one of those first times where I could feel the presence of God. For us, it was a guided meditation where we went through a series of breathing and relaxation exercises and then had guided imagery as well. I've done this actually a number of times since then. I've been able to go through it. And in my head, I always have a couple of favorite spots to go to. They always have you pick, you know, pick a favorite spot, somewhere that's calm, somewhere that's peaceful. One of them is at the Point at Luther Park Bible Camp. It's where the fire pit is. It's down at the Point. It's on the lake. And so it's the fire pit. And behind the fire pit, there's a cross with birch bark. And then it's framed in. Behind that, you see the lake. And it's framed in by trees and shrubs on the side. It's peaceful. It's quiet. And best of all, it's warm. Always in my head, it's warm there. Because it's summertime. And the other spot for me is a couple miles back in the woods off of Springbrook Road in northern Wisconsin. It's down an old logging trail that goes behind Erickson's Pond and ends at the edge of the Brunswiler River. It's in a grove of pines, and you can hear the river splashing over the rocks. Once again, it's peaceful and quiet, but in my mind, it's always cold because I go there when it's during hunting season, when we're making a deer drive. Even though we're making a deer drive, It's one of those where it's a peaceful spot for me. For me, the two requirements to find peace are water and woods. So I guess it's a good thing we ended up in Bemidji. So I want you to take a minute. Get yourself kind of situated so that you're comfortable. We're actually going to try this. We're going to run through it. Hopefully it'll work. I don't know. With the kids. But, you know, if nothing else, that's also the sound of God murmuring through us. So I want you to go ahead and just close your eyes. We'll give it a whirl. Just go ahead and close your eyes. Take some deep breaths. Just in and out. And when you exhale, make sure that you blow it all out. Your lungs know what to do. You don't have to hold anything in. Just breathe it in. Deep breaths in. Deep breaths out. And as you focus on your breath, going in and out, also take some time to let your muscles relax. Let go of the tension that's in your shoulders and your jaw. Just kind of let that all melt down into the floor. Sometimes you can do it by clenching your hands for a little bit and then letting go. Now I invite you to find that place of peace, whether it's by a lake shore, sitting over an ice hole, sitting in your sewing room. Where do you find that quiet, that solace? Now, sisters and brothers, may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.